Last month came and went, and I didn't pay the rent. Well, now that was pretty silly, I guess. But that's how much I love you, baby, more or less. Well, the lights went out before now, they up and locked the door. Well, I guess you really put me to the test. But that's how much I love you, baby, more or less. Well, how could you be so cool to sit and watch me play the fool and pick up all the tabs for all your fun? Well, I bought your brand new clothes, and heaven only knows that all the time I thought that I was number one. Well, I saw Fred yesterday, he said he saw you in L.A. Well, I hope the weather's groovy there out west. But that's how much you love me, baby, more or less. So cool to sit and watch me play the fool and pick up all the tabs for all your fun. Well, I bought your brand new clothes, and heaven only knows that all the time I thought that I was number one. Well, I saw Fred yesterday, he said it, saw you in L.A. Well, I hope the weather's groovy there out west. But that's how much you love me, baby, more or less, more or less, more or less.
Yes, I was someone there to greet her. Yes, I wondered if there'll be someone left who might need her. Or will she forever have to face each day alone?
And ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man. They made up his bed, a gold-covered mattress on which he was led.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Next up, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 3.5 hours of commentary and your phone calls if you want to make them. Today, the November 28th show. Stay with us.
The Holy Spirit looked down from the heavens, saw the suffering of humanity. Teardrops fell down from the sides of those lady, have some mercy on us all. Thank God for the tree of life, it shall bear 12 manner of fruits and give forth fruit every month, and the leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. your mother up, kissed you on your knee. Not just another roadside weed, not just another roadside attraction. Food, medicine, fiber, paper, plastics, building materials, biomass, soil revitalization and preservation. Time for us to re-examine our constitutional fiber. Head for victory, the global solution. Welcome to the flywheel revolution of fuel cells and a series of flywheels, methane electrolysis, hydrogen carburetors, waste products, H2O and CO2, water and carbon dioxide. Global safe technology. Perhaps someday soon we can run a car on a quart of water, candles in the rain. Yippee! R.A.R., let's do it!
The eclectic electric
tune into the hemp cornucopia, the global
tune into the hemp cornucopia.
Global solution to the future. It all nations unite with mutual process. So many gifts from one small seed. Hallelujah!
was Billy Starr, one of our local performers. You can catch him on the streets, sometimes not too far from the Union Cafe, formerly the Java House on Union Street. Billy is currently engaged in a dialogue with the Union Cafe after being evicted from there by April, the manager, about a week ago. He came to a HUF meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and asked for some assistance and some support, and we got a little mediation going, and we're hoping that that works out. We have had a discussion of the Union Cafe on the air, and you can actually find it archived, as you can find a lot of what I broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays here on Free Radio at the HUF website, www.hufsantacruz.org. My apologies that it's not very well classified yet. You can't really tell what you're getting other than the date of the show. But you can stream the show or download the show if you want to listen to these old discussions. And if you really are interested in this, leave me a message on this or any other subject relating to the show at the HUF hotline, actually not W, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the phone line here in area code 831. So I'm Robert Norris, and this is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, Thanksgiving weekend show. I don't know if anybody's around to listen to it, but hey, here I am. And you're welcome to call in. The phone line is at 427-3772, 831-427-3772, if you're out of the area. You can also jump online at www.pagesincolor.com, and that's a chat room. You can chat. So if you find the phone busy or you prefer that method or you have a longer written document to pass on, you can do it that way. Give a call, jump on the chat room, or if you want to leave a message off air again, it's 423-4833. So today we have a couple of interviews planned. There's one with Peter Maron continuing. You may remember if you listened to the last show, on Thursday, Peter Maron was talking with us about Santa Barbara's new anti-homeless parking regulations, which are being used, as well as he talked about the shelter down there and the situation, the pressure the shelter is under from neighborhood business and residential folks who are blaming the shelter for numerous, various and sundried homeless problems. I'll get this right. That they aren't really responsible for. So he's going to continue that discussion today at 10:30 if you want to tune in. And we also have a hoping to get an interview with Paul Sanford. Paul's an attorney who has been helpful in cases in the past. He helped defend the Camp Paradise 10 that became the Camp Paradise 7 and became the Camp Paradise 4. Larry Templeton and a group of others who formed their own independent homeless-run encampment on the banks of the San Lorenzo River in 2000, 2001, actually 2000 before it was kind of washed away by a combination of natural forces and city council hostility or indifference and police hostility. I actually got a request on the internet today for an email from a Palo Alto activist who wonders what's become of Camp Paradise. And Camp Paradise, of course, is gone. It actually went through some splits. And it got involved with a group called the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which set it up in an office before that whole building was torn down where it had those offices over in, on the location now of the soon-to-be-completed family shelter at Coral and River Streets. There's the remnants of Camp Paradise still operates out at on a church in Aptos, right next to the freeway. I can never remember the name of it, but it, you can see it as you go by. There are only about four, five, maybe a few more folks out there, kind of a little group with Larry Templeton. Larry kind of broke with the main part of the group when they insisted on democratic procedures at the Santa Cruz Service Corps meeting, and he and Paul Lee and the others involved with the kind of the central Santa Cruz Service Corps bureaucracy slash power directorate simply picked up their marbles and left, leaving the majority of the people alone. They formed their own organization for a short period of time, but it dissolved. So there is no Camp Paradise, unfortunately, this winter. But Paul Sanford was the attorney for that group, and we're hoping to have him on to talk about another case. Looks like we have a incoming call. Let's see what's cooking here. The SEIU there asking for a better deal, and then the evening they had the coronation, the swearing in of the new council members.
Okay. I just heard that some folks like Mike Rotkin were, you know, pretty rude to you at the hearings or whatever, and I was wondering if you could kind of expound on, or what were they, I don't know, what were you saying, like what were they?
It was actually outgoing Mayor Kennedy. He was the mayor at the time. He is no longer mayor. Mike Rotkin is indeed the new mayor. But
Mike Rotkin's the mayor now?
He is.
I can barely hear you though.
Okay, I'll pump it up a little bit. Now can you hear me?
A little better.
How about now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Rotkin is the new mayor, and he's actually he's probably been mayor more times than anybody in history in Santa Cruz. He was first elected in 79 to the council, and he's come back, I don't know what this is, his sixth term. He's the endless recycled Rotkin, as I call him. And he's a very smooth fellow. He's also a liar, which is a problem. But it is a real problem.
He went to one of my classrooms, my classes, and he gave a history of European socialism, and I got the idea that he was a very progressive, compassionate person with a strong case for socialist ideals.
Mm-hmm. Well, he may be a compassionate person in his own life. I mean, I can't really speak for that. Everybody has their own private life. I've watched him for decades as a political figure, and he is no socialist feminist on the city council, as he likes to typify himself when he goes for UCSC student and community votes.
Oh.
And the way you see that most vividly, I think one way to see it is, well, you can see it in terms of rent control. He is refused to bring up any rent control since there was a defeat of an initiative way back in 1982 or thereabouts. He has gutted rent control for De Anza and Clearview Court in the last year.
Huh.
He has supported the sleeping ban, of course, which is the big issue I continue to agitate around and talk a lot about on this show.
Uh-huh.
The law that criminalizes poor people outside after 11 o'clock at night. It's illegal to actually fall asleep, which is a kind of a unique, but a rare law. In most cities may have anti camping ordinances, or some do, or many do, you would say, but they don't have the anti sleeping ordinances.
I know, it's really odd. I remember a few years ago when I was still living in Los Angeles. It must have been 3 or 4 years ago. Santa Cruz was voted the most harsh city to be homeless in.
I think it was certainly one of the most. There's a list that the National Coalition for the Homeless puts out every year, the meanest cities list.
Yeah.
And we actually did not make the meanest cities list this year. It explained to me that it was not because we'd gotten better, but because everybody else had gotten so much worse.
Oh, geez.
And that you can actually go online for those who are interested. And I may have to do a report on that soon. The National Coalition, I actually have talked about it a little bit on this show. Did have, I think Santa Cruz was the third or the eighth, I think it was the third from the top at one point, could have been the eighth, third, and then it was the 14th. Again, it's not that the city council has been taking any steps to significantly alleviate this, though they would, of course, tell you that they're doing a wonderful job. They've got the new family shelter about to open up with the room for 27 families and a case-managed $5.4 million enterprise, which could have been used several times over to actually provide emergency shelter for every homeless person in Santa Cruz. But they don't do that. Instead, they have these little kind of creamy projects which, take small, special, select groups and assist them in the way that it's politically correct to assist them. You show them how to fill out forms. And it gives families shelter for 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But for single homeless men, there's emergency shelter tonight for about 160 people. Because the armory opened up at mid-month, and there are 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people, by our estimates.
1,500
to 2,000 homeless people in the city limits. In the county, I estimate 8,000 to 10,000 homeless people.
Okay, that's really high numbers for such a small place.
Yeah, and climbing, as far as I know. Although, actually, no, there's been there's been a new report called the Community Assessment Project Report, which people can go online to check. They see a slight decline in homeless, but it's still double or triple, or I think it's double what it was a few years ago. That's another report I'd like to be able to get a report on the report soon.
Okay.
But getting back to the city council, any other questions?
Well, I heard that they were talking about a proposal to build a new housing building right there at the top of Pacific.
Yeah, this is a project that I don't know a lot about. I think it's the attempt to eminent domain Ron Lau's property near the the old Bookshop Santa Cruz Coffee Roasting Company site, which was earthquake destroyed or damaged beyond repair, and it's now kind of a it's next to the Lulu Carpenters area. Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, I've only heard some commentary on it briefly. I played that on the Thursday show. Scott Graham, who's a council watcher, talked about this and how the city council is trying to steal Ron Lau's property, and after having repeatedly denied him a project which he has proposed, brought back three times to the council, now they're going to Graham suggests that this is a sort of a scam by the redevelopment agency to pass it on to their favorite developers. I can't say. Mm-hmm. I haven't investigated that, and I hope to talk more about it and to learn more about it. Do you have any more information about it yourself?
Well, I heard from friends that were at the meeting that Ron Lau was in favor of I think low rent, of like a low rent building, and or using sustainable methods to build it or maintain the building, so something like that. Like they had architects there that were, you know, for using sustainable methods of the building, and then the city had its own you know mainstream architects that were ridiculing what the pro-sustainable architects were saying and such.
Hmm. Yeah, I was kind of in and around the council at that time, but I didn't really take much note of the conversation. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to get more of a discussion of that going. Maybe we can get Ron Lau in here. In fact, Scott Graham's agreed to be on the air again. He was kind of a commentator along with Thomas Levitt, I believe. We had somebody else in the studio with him around election time. And hopefully we'll get him back and have an informed discussion. The next city council meeting is not till December 14th,
mm-hmm.
as I understand it. And it's the last one of the year. The city council goes merrily off to its Christmas holidays while everybody else who's poor outside gets to freeze their butts and dodge the police.
Right.
Or line up for space in the armory if they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, why don't you listen in and see what you think of the city council discussion as it rolls down the road here, and if you got more questions, you can call back.
Great, thanks a lot, Robert.
All right, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And you too can call back and listen in, for that matter, 427-3772 or pagesincolor.com for the chat room. Let's turn now to the city council meeting. City council meeting in the afternoon, as I said before, had a peculiar system of oral communications. The oral communications was not at 3 o'clock, which it usually is at 7 o'clock in the evening, but for years, during the second council session in November, they don't have oral communications then because there is a ceremony that replaces it, the self-serving, self-aggrandizing, self-congratulating speeches of outgoing city council members and incoming city council members. And we get to watch all that happen and then go over and eat little pastries at the Civic Auditorium, which actually isn't open in the main, but they opened that, the antechamber, the lobby of the auditorium, to save money. But in any case, oral communications happens, usually happens at 3, and it had to happen at 3 the week before. Strange times chosen by Kennedy instead of the 7 o'clock time. This time he shifted it to 5, and I couldn't figure out what he was doing. I got paranoid myself, or perhaps properly skeptical and suspicious. Because we'd put out a flyer, those of us in Huff, suggesting people come to the 3 o'clock session to talk about the U.S. out of Iraq resolution and the end the sleeping ban letter, which I'm going to be reading today, too. A letter from attorneys essentially threatening legal action if the city council doesn't take action by December 14th, the last council meeting of the year. And Kennedy moved the oral communications to 5, which actually did cut out the vets. The vets for peace came at 3, and they saw that, you know, there was no oral communications, and according to Francis, they left and didn't come back. I think maybe one came back. And as it happened, the oral communications at 5 was completely flooded with SEIU members, and also Kennedy improperly, again, used the claim that if you spoke at the last meeting, you cannot speak at this meeting until every other person has spoken, which is not true, according to, as I've mentioned before on this show, Terry Frank of the First Amendment Coalition and a close observer of the Brown Act, the Public Act, the Public Records, Public Participation Act that requires oversees public meetings to make sure that the mayor and the city council and the little group inside city government doesn't insulate itself from the community and cut the community off from the process. And in fact, the truth is that, as I understand it, that every meeting is, as they say, de nouveau. It's anew. It starts again. So you stand in line and you speak again. And the mayor can't say, oh, you spoke last time, so we won't let you speak this time till everybody and his mother speaks. You have to. It's a first come, first serve. And when individuals tried to speak about the sleeping ban, they were threatened with. They were told not to do so. Now, of course, if next time he does that, we may simply walk up to the mic and say, "No, we're talking anyway." Not that I don't think that new people shouldn't be allowed to speak. They should, and they should be. There should be a certain amount of courtesy shown. But of course, what's really needed is more time for the public to speak. People like Rotkin, who's the new mayor, do go on at great, great length, and they we get to hear them endlessly fluffing and padding and rationalizing and representing their positions and often misrepresenting the positions of the public. But the public has no response time. There should be an opportunity for the public to question the staff. The staff should be not merely subject to question by the council, but subject to question by the public. You know, in a reasonable fashion. And there should be an opportunity for a dialogue back and forth between the council and the public. And that could be done. There could be a process set up for that, but that's the last thing that these city councils want. They want to walk in, make their decisions, often made beforehand, even though that's a violation of the Brown Act, and then proceed. At least it's my impression that these decisions are made beforehand, particularly on the thing called the consent agenda, which we're now going to be turning to. The consent agenda is what happens in the afternoon, usually. And the consent agenda is a whole slew of items, usually 10 to 20, that are voted on as one item, yes or no, up or down, unless a member of the public or the council pulls the item off the agenda. And often this is the only time members of the public get a chance to speak at any length on things unless they come to the oral communications line and they aren't improperly shut down from using it and there aren't too many people using the line and they can find the right time as the mayor shifts around the oral communications time. So it's really quite a dance to get some kind of public participation. If you want to publicly participate, many people have become so discouraged and so cynical. Realistic in effect that they say, what's the point of talking to the city council? And they're right. The reason I go to city council is not to talk to the city council, but to expose the city council and to talk to the community. That's my purpose. I think that's what the point is. But, you know, you do that through the means of talking to the city council, and you are supposedly protected by state law. And, of course, the protections are only there if you have the attorneys, the time, the energy, the knowledge, the courage to enforce them, and it's not so easy to do. And most of the time, we don't do it, those of us who get up there, because we have other aspects to our lives that don't involve risking going to jail, involve long periods of time in court. We essentially let the bullies who run the council have their way. And they're very nice bullies. You know, they're very respectful in their demeanor, but the fact is how they act is the bullying manner in which they ultimately act, the system that they use, the repressive approaches that they have, and the manipulations that they cook up are the reason I so typify them as bullies. So, in the past year on, gosh, I don't know, certainly a number of occasions, to me it seemed like quite a number of occasions, Mayor Kennedy has moved my items, the items I've pulled from the consent agenda to talk about, to the end of the agenda, which essentially means that they only be talked about. I only do that if I come back late in the afternoon, and I won't be able to know exactly when. So in essence, I have to kind of keep coming back to see if they're anywhere near those items, and you can't really tell. So you have to sit through the entire council session if you want to talk on these items. It's a way of discouraging people from pulling items, particularly discouraging me from doing that. So that wasn't done. Kennedy, this time, did allow me to talk about some items. And the first item, you're going to hear him and me discussing this. This is a tape off of the official city tape. It was recorded off the television set, and then I recorded off the television set so we could do an audio of it, because the studio is not yet equipped here at Free Radio with a video player that I know of. And so if anybody got a video player, by the way, if you have any donations for Free Radio, you can always kick them down. And the number to call there is 427-4523. 427-4523. We stream it, of course, at freakradio.org. Some pirates are allegedly broadcasting us at 101.1 FM, scandalously, but we have nothing to do with that. And the post office box, if you want to call us, is at P.O.B. 7507 Santa Cruz 95061. Again, if you got voicemail offers, or if you got questions, or if you want to be a part of the show, it's 427, you have your own show, a part of the station, 427-4523. Let's hear now the City Council meeting of 11:23, at least some selections from the consent agenda. You'll hear Mayor Kennedy begin this discussion.
Mr. Norris, this is the minutes of the November 9th regular City Council meeting.
It is indeed. Thank you, Mayor Kennedy. I'm concerned about public testimony and how it is being essentially abbreviated to the point of non-existence in these minutes. And I think it's important for the community to be able, those who can't attend these meetings, don't have the time to listen to the tapes, those who don't have perhaps community television so they can't see the meetings, to be able to hear what members of the public, and I admit I'm one of them, came to the mic to say, took the time out of their day or their evening to say. And I know that 2 years ago, if you compare the minutes of 2 years ago with the minutes of today, and this is no reflection on Leslie, because I think this may have been done at City Council direction, or perhaps at City Manager direction, you could actually tell what people were talking about, if they disagreed with the items, if they agreed with the items in terms of the specific comments they were making. Admittedly, the comments were abbreviated, but I think it's important, if you want to encourage public participation, to at least acknowledge that people came and said something about an item of public interest. So if you look at item 16, for instance, at the 3 o'clock session in the minutes, you'll see, speaking from the floor expressing concerns, a simple name, Michael Tomasi, or speaking from the floor in support in item 17, Tomasi and Steve Caniglia. You don't have any notion of what they were talking about, and I think that really doesn't do a service to the community and to the public process, because what we need to do is encourage people to come to this council, not to discourage them. Thanks. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Thank you. Councilmember, or Vice Mayor Rotkin.
I just want to say that it was by council action that we've decided that we're going to take what are called action minutes. And so what you'll notice is that all the beautiful things that I've said on all the items that throughout this agenda did not get recorded. They record the actions. This is what was finally decided. And so it's important, if people think that they want to, if people would like to know more about what the opposition was about, they can find out that a person did speak there. They could go contact that person, ask them, or anything else. But I don't see any reason why members of the public should necessarily get any more privilege than the members of the council when it comes to having the pearls of wisdom they've dispensed. And I'm not, you know, whether they're intelligent and wonderful things or meaningless things doesn't make much difference. At the end, these minutes report what the council decided to do on various actions. And so I support the way that these minutes have been structured, and that we should continue to follow that process. It's ultimately a cost item. If somebody has to go through the tapes and listen to all the words and decide what were the important comments that somebody made, and which comments were really not worthy of writing down, it would take somebody a great deal of time to do that. So I think we're on the right track here, and I move approval of this item.
Second.
Motion and second by Mr. Tomasi. We're done with this item. Thanks. You can speak to a future item.
And just a quick comment on that. I'm going to interrupt this tape at occasional moments. Vice Mayor, and now Mayor Rotkin, is in fact mistaken on a couple points, or at least he doesn't quite cover a couple points as a misleading. Well, let me just comment on a couple things. First, the City Council tapes are destroyed, recycled, after it's either 1 year or 3 years. So unless you can get to those tapes, you will not know what people talked about unless there is a written record. So obviously that has a certain importance for those of us who are either for historical purposes, or if the same issue is coming up again some years later, you want to look at the debate, you won't be able to see it because the council didn't bother to record it. Secondly, the privileges of the City Council to proceed and talk at great length and not to be – Rutkin equates the public's privilege with the city council's privilege. He says, well, certainly the public shouldn't have any more privileges than the city council. And, of course, I think the council has vastly more privilege, vastly more speaking time, and vastly more power than the public. Therefore, it should be this is a way of balancing that. Of those rare times when you can kind of get in a few comments, the public should be able to know what those comments are about. That's that. Now I'm going to proceed with the tape, and if you got questions, feel free to call in.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. For the public who probably took the next step mentally on that item, the next thing that happens, of course, is that certain members of the public then come to the next meeting and dispute how the city clerk characterized their comments and wants to have the opportunity to put their exact wording.
Second.
Motion and second by Mr. Tomasi. We're done with this item. Thanks. You can speak to a future item. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. For the public who probably took the next step mentally on that item, the next thing that happens, of course, is that certain members of the public then come to the next meeting and dispute how the city clerk characterized their comments and wants to have the opportunity to put their exact wording in the minutes. So the action minutes, I think, is inappropriate and both cost-saving and expeditious in other regards. So the next item.
And just a quick comment here. Kennedy cut off a member of the public, Michael Tomasi, who's the grizzled vet who often makes very colorful and sometimes off-topic comments, from even speaking at the mic. You heard him say, Mr. Tomasi, you can talk on the next item. This, of course, is a violation of the Brown Act. He's cutting off members of the public from speaking. His comment that we come back and talk about the minutes and try to correct the minutes because we disagree with what's been recorded, that has happened on a couple of occasions with me. But I don't think it happens a lot. I think it happens, I'd say, two or three times a year. People come back and make that request. And it's not been a big deal. I would say it's taken up, a total of 10 or 15 minutes, a total of a year's time for all the people who did it when I was at council. Now, I can't say that I was at council all the time. Can't say that happened I can't give you the entire overview accurately surveyed throughout the entire period. But I think, again, this attempt to claim you're saving costs, you're cutting back, is it's a credible argument in a time of fiscal crisis. However, it ignores the fact that what you're there to do is to further a public process on various issues that it necessarily involves some cost. And it's been my sense that this council's real intention is to proceed in as streamlined as possible behind closed doors via this, because the reality is that the council works out its deals with the staff and then pushes forward. The staff, City Manager Dick Wilson, City Attorney John Barisoni, Redevelopment Czar Seal Cirillo, these are the people who have the power in our city, and they're the ones who make the real choices. And the council goes along with them. That's what I note. Continuing with this tape, and my apologies to the caller who called in during the show. Please try again. I'll try to be a little more attentive to you. I had to interrupt the call to take the on air keep up with things that were going on the tape.
Number five. This is a grant application to the Robert Zeeberg Harris Urbanized Areas Need Based Program. Before the council is a resolution that would authorize the city manager to apply for a grant for Urbanized Area Needs Spaces Program under the California Clean Water, Clean Air, Safe Neighborhood Parks, and Coastal Protection Act of 2004. What we're trying to do is get funding for the Raymond Street Park Improvement Project, which is in Beach Flats, and this appoints the city manager as our agent to conduct all negotiations, execute and submit all documents in a form that's approved by the city attorney, including but not limited to applications, agreements, and payment requests. which may be necessary for the completion of the project. Mr. Norris?
Yes, I'm sorry you didn't allow a member of the public to speak on the last item, but moving on to this item.
If you would speak to the item before,
I will indeed,
fine.
If I'm not interrupted. This is about funding for Raymond Street Park in part, and I would like to see more funding and more grants for our parks. I'm concerned about kind of the paper trail on these improvements. What happens off camera in terms of restrictions involving poor and homeless people? So, for instance, up in Lighthouse Field, we see the parking lot suddenly persona non grata as far as camping vehicles go. You can find suddenly signs of, yeah, it's true. Mayor Kennedy's raising his eyebrows here, but I think it is true.
So the idea of a vehicle being persona non grata just kind of captured my imagination, but go ahead.
I think you understand what I mean. And
sure.
That, in essence, it combined with the permit parking and other actions by this Kennedy Council, as I call it, it has resulted in really a disappearance of public space for poor people, particularly those with vehicles. So I'd like to see, more public space. I'd like to see less disappearing benches downtown as in front of the Vets building. But I think we need a paper trail here. So I'm happy to see this grant proceed in an open and even-handed fashion. I mean, I'd like to see some of those park bathrooms open at night. We don't really have much in the way of open bathrooms at night. My hat's off to the council for opening one up downtown, partially, but that's obviously not enough. You're hearing complaints from different neighborhoods about public urination, public defecation. So we need more money being pumped into park space and less money being pumped into massive hotel boondoggles. But we need to see where it's going, and we need to have some input into the process. And I'm not too sure that this consent agenda item is providing us with that input. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tomasi?
Mayor Kennedy, City Council, you know, I think it's a disgrace what you did to Lighthouse Field, to Dog Heaven and Peace Park. I think it's about the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know something? I've been going up there every day, and I see fewer and fewer people. Because, you know, you've done your job, Mr. Kennedy, City Council. You've cleansed. You've cleansed these poor people that don't fit into your mold out of it. Mr. Kennedy, I'm talking to you. I'd appreciate it if you'd look at me. And every single one of you. Because I'm totally ashamed of you, man. And I'll tell you another thing. Tonight, I better be able to talk at oral communications because I've invited every police officer here to bust every one of you and take you down to that 5150 down at Dominican Hospital and analyze you because you people have been totally crazy. All of the time that I've been from Mr. Shiger all the way up, you are disgusting, and you are a disgrace to the United States of America. And you should have put the flags at half-mast, Mr. Veteran, Mr. Kennedy, because that's why you lost. Because there's lots of veterans in this town, and there's lots of people that have lots of love. So be real careful, all of you. Because I'll tell you, you took my home, you killed my dog, you took the sight from my left eye, and you did all the nasty things that the devil's cult does. And not one of you, not one of you will ever get over it, especially you, Mr. Porter. Whoa.
See, please, hey, your comments to the council.
My comment is to every council member here, because I'm ashamed of you, Mr. Kennedy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further comments on this item? I can't tell if this gentleman...
No, he's looking at something else.
No, it's all right. I just want to make sure. We have a motion to approve by Councilmember Rotkin.
Second.
Second by Matthews. Comments?
Comment is that this is an excellent project that's going to remake a part,
Councilmember Fitzmaurice,
community, part of the community that's been neglected. It's going to... I really appreciate the work that's gone into it on the part of the Parks and Recreation Department.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Next item is number 14. This is a second amendment to the city agency loan agreement for capital projects and budget adjustments for the Front Street improvements, for the Tannery Arts Center, and for the Coast Hotel project.
Weren't number 5 and 11 pulled? I asked that they be pulled. I beg your pardon for interrupting you. 5, 11, 13.
We just did 5.
13. I'm sorry, 11 and 13 were also pulled, as far as I know.
You hit 5.
11 and 13 were also pulled, as far as I know.
You hit 5.
And what's happened here is that I failed to write down one of the items. I wanted to pull it, and I noted that it was pulled, but it didn't get passed on to Kennedy, so they ignored it and moved on, actually having already passed it, because they passed the entire consent agenda before they begin talking about the items that have been pulled. But he did skip, Kennedy did skip item 13 and did go to 14, so he goes back to item 13. Both 13 and 14 are the concern redevelopment agency money shifting around for a variety of projects, but specifically the one I'm concerned about is the Coast Hotel project, which is, of course, the plum pudding of Primack and Kennedy, as well as other council members, though not for a lot of the rest of us.
14. I'm sorry? We're 11 and 13 pulled as well.
I'm sorry, 13.
11?
Can we?
Wasn't 11 pulled?
Maybe we can do 13 and 14 together. What do you think? Since they're essentially... fine, I'll do 13 first.
So Kennedy again attempts to circumvent the Brown Act by combining 13 and 14 instead of allowing individual discussion on each agenda item as is required by the Brown Act, but then stops short.
Number 13 is a second amendment to the city agency loan agreement for capital projects and budget adjustments for the Front Street improvements, the Tannery Arts Center, and the Coast Hotel project. The Redevelopment Agency resolution authorizes the Executive Director to execute the Second Amendment to the Capital Projects Loan Agreement with the City of Santa Cruz, increasing the loan by $264,478 to fund additional improvements on Front Street and land use application fees for the Tannery Project, contingent upon approval of these agreements by the City Council. The Redevelopment Agency resolution also transfers funds from the agency's fund balance and amends the fiscal year 2005 budget in the amount of $181,000 and reallocates existing project funding in the amount of $80,000 to fund as follows. First, $131,000 for the payment of the land use application fees for the proposed Tannery Arts Center. Two, $130,000 for additional Front Street improvements between Cooper Street and Soquel Avenue. Three, transferring funds from the agency's fund balance and amending the 2005 budget in the amount of $83,478 for land use application fees for the Coast Hotel project.
Kennedy does not have to read this entire thing. One thinks he's almost doing so to try the patience of the public.
To the city for the fiscal year 2005 administrative loan payment. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, before you open it to the public.
Sure.
So I can clarify, people may have
I correct
a number of these. In the circumstance of both the Arts Tannery project and the Conference Hotel, the Redevelopment Agency's function is to work with these proposals to develop them and to see that they get put into the city application process. I just want to be clear to the public that there's no assumption that the redevelopment paying the application fee necessarily implies that the city council is going to approve or not make changes to either of these projects. So people should not make the mistake of confusing that support for the application with the idea that the council actually has to make an independent judgment about whether we think this thing meets our requirements, codes, and so forth. And that's written into the actual agenda item that's in front of us, but not in the piece of this that the mayor read. So people should be aware of that situation.
Mr. Norris?
Thank you. My concern here is with the Coastal Hotel Project part of this resolution. And my concern is that we're dealing with a lame duck council here. And I'm not saying this with any particular disrespect. I'm not. It's true. This is a lame duck council. And to have a lame duck council where two members of the council are supportive of a hotel project that the community may not be supportive of, I believe, is inappropriate. I think this matter should be passed over until the new council gets a chance to talk about it. Now, it's true what Vice Mayor Rodkin says, certainly, that we're talking perhaps about an application. But how much, in terms of funding, is actually involved here? Transferring funds, $83,000 worth, if I'm not mistaken. Now, perhaps I'm wrong about this. I'm just reading the front of the recommendation. I'm concerned that we're not rushing into something with individuals who have been voted out of office, and we haven't heard from the new people coming into office. So I think it's more appropriate to wait on this item. I think that to some extent, I'm obviously skeptical of the item. I don't know. I haven't researched thoroughly. I've heard something about it at City Council. I'm concerned about the loss at Clearview Court of rooms there and the destruction of rent control and connected, however, indirectly with this project. And I'm concerned with the fact that a lot of these projects seem to be being rammed through by the staff, through the city manager's office, and the Redevelopment Agency without having meaningful public interaction, particularly when the public expresses itself in voting, it looks like the council is going to proceed anyway and push forward, again, moving the process forward. Now, I guess the question is there some insurmountable date that requires this council to act on this issue prior to the new council? I was prepared to, for example, to speak about these appointments to the Department of the Transit District business, but I appreciate Mayor Kennedy's pointing out that this is a temporary appointment. If there's no pressing date here, then I don't see why you can't postpone this till the new council is sitting. And I think that's the fair and reasonable way to do it. Thank you.
And what I was referring to here is that there's a temporary appointments, apparently, of Rodkin and Riley to the Transportation Commission. I would have talked about their records in terms of low-income people in transportation, what they've done to destroy and devastate the ability of homeless people in vehicles to have any place to park in Santa Cruz, vastly cut back on the places. But I postponed that because I was told by Kennedy before this meeting, in the course of the meeting, that this was only a temporary appointment to allow there to be some people to attend a meeting in early December. And I thought, fine, let's let that pass. Let's not use every opportunity to bash these folks. Frankly, now I'm thinking a little better of it. There's so little public comment time really allowed. You've got to use every second you can to clarify what's really going on. You're not going to learn about it in the Sentinel. You're not going to learn about it in the Metro. You're not going to learn about it in the Good Times. Certainly, Mike Rodkin is not going to tell you about it. City on a Hill won't tell you about it. Fisher App Live won't tell you about it. You know, it's really a much censored subject, which very few people talk about. So it really would have been appropriate to talk on more items, and I probably will do that in the future.
Mr. Tomasi?
Yes, Mr. Kennedy. I think this convention center is as bad as you doing what you did to the poor. You don't need to upset Westcliff Drive. You need to send this convention center to Sacramento, California, my hometown, where I grew up. It don't need to be here. It don't need to be in Lighthouse Field. What you really need to do right now, Mr. Kennedy, to be a great, great mayor, you need to put Lighthouse Field, Peace Park, Dog Heaven. And you know something? You got to get a 175 howitzer out of that desert mound and put it there, because I'll tell you what, there is nobody greater than the peacemaker. And, sir, I am the peacemaker.
Thank you very much.
I'm not finished.
Would you then speak to the item before the council?
Well, I am. Your convention center, sir, is a bad idea. Because, you see, Mother Nature is going to take care of that area. You don't need to waste your money on it. You don't need to waste your money on Highway 1 either. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, this is Michael Tomasi, who I often wince when he goes up to the mic because he's so confrontational, personal, seems to roam so far afield. But on reviewing his comments, he really is talking about kind of nitty-gritty, down-home, close to the ground issues of poverty, which he lives in a van himself. I presume he's a vet. He talks enough about his vet experience. I assume he's a vet. And his comments are not that far off the mark. In fact, in many ways, they strike at the heart of the issue when he talks about and confronts the council's obliviousness to poor people. And so my middle-class sensibilities often make me squeamish when he's up there, but I'm glad he is, particularly when I view this in retrospect and look back on it.
Davidson?
Hey, Mayor Kennedy, council members. Ed Davidson, and I'm speaking in the support of the funding on these two items. Redevelopment is intended to assist developers within the redevelopment project area to come up with projects that are going to generate new tax revenues. And that is a basic purpose of redevelopment law, and I think that paying the fees and doing other things to assist the development is an appropriate use of redevelopment funds, and in this case, probably a necessary one. And I had, at the meeting on the issue, the design
meeting, there are a number of people who expressed concern about why the public should be putting any money into this project at all, and I try to diffuse that with my just talking to them what redevelopment money is supposed to be used for. And so that's for anybody who's listening tonight, this afternoon, about that. And again, it doesn't mean I necessarily support the project and so on. And council member or Vice Mayor Rotkin's comments are exactly on point, that this is simply to fund the project, and there's no reason to delay the timing of the approval, and I recommend your approval. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment from council members? Seeing none, we'll bring the item back to us for consideration.
Second.
Motion by Rotkin, second by Matthews. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Note who moves and seconds. Rotkin and Matthews, the two most conservative members of the council.
The second item is number 14. It's a second amendment to the city agency loan agreement for capital projects and budget adjustments also related to Front Street improvements, the Tannery Arts Center, and the Coast Hotel project. The resolution authorizing the city manager to execute the second amendment for a capital project loan agreement with the redevelopment agency would increase the said loan by $264,478 to fund new capital projects contingent upon approval by the agreement by the redevelopment agency. The second element would be a resolution transferring funds and amending the fiscal year budget 2005 in the amount of $9,100 to reflect the interest payment of the agency on the increased capital loan amount. Mr. Norris?
Before Mr. Norris speaks, if I
sure.
I just want to, I won't repeat the whole comment, but the same comment pertains to this one.
Note again how Rotkin is preempting the mic here from the public. And he's doing so in a, you know, apologetic fashion, but he's doing so with, he's exerting his power. He's attempting to shape the discussion for the people watching.
Is money that's related to establishing the, a project for consideration by the council and by the redevelopment agency, and in no way implies that it's either going to be approved or not changed in some way before it gets to a final decision.
Since you added that comment, let me just ask a question. Is there a time limit? Do you have a time limit coming up in the next 2 weeks that requires this kind of vote?
Please go ahead and ask any of your questions and make your comment.
I take it from the silence that that's not the case. So,
no, our normal practice is that members of the public make their comments or ask their questions, then after they leave the dais, then council members may choose to respond.
So the key issue, which I kept bringing up, is what's the hurry? Why not wait until the new council is seated on this discussion? Since the resolution was ultimately voted on unanimously anyway, it would probably pass just as quickly. But why the rush? Is there like an application deadline that they need to get past? I repeatedly asked this question, and I repeatedly got no answer. And Rotkin, as you'll hear in a moment, promised to answer the question, but didn't. And that's why I call Rotkin a liar, and I called him a liar at the beginning of this show. And it's really quite typical of what he does. He says things that he doesn't carry out on. He says things that one has to imagine, perhaps, and that's why I call him a liar, that he intentionally intends to do nothing about. I can't say I'm not inside his mind, but that has to be my conclusion, listening to more of this.
However, the council member responded before I spoke. In fact, interrupting me as I spoke, which I didn't mind, but I point that out, and I asked a simple question. I was ignored because it's a key part. It's key relevant to my question, to my comment. If there is some deadline, I'll just step down because I would acknowledge that. I won't waste the community and the city council's time by talking about it any further. But if there is no deadline, and if this simply is more lame duck quackery, as I like to call it, because that's what we've got here, a lame duck council voting on what? And I'm not sure, again, what the difference between this resolution and the prior resolution is. They're both talking about $87,000 or thereabouts. So I don't understand the urgency.
Can I ask a question? You'd like a response? Mr.
No, no, excuse me.
I would.
Mr. Norris finish his comments, and then we'll proceed with our deliberations as we try to do on a normal basis.
The council can always overrule the mayor in this matter, and I would indeed save time, but I'll proceed, and then maybe I can get a response 2 minutes from now rather than now. Again, we're concerned about the Coastal Hotel project. I myself and other people, and I'm specifically speaking for myself here, and also concerned about where this is in the process. I understand it's still being considered by other groups like the Planning Commission. And I don't understand the need for city council action here. Again, I don't know, but the council's being unclearly mysterious about this issue. I mean, I don't know why this well-educated council can't simply answer a simple question from a member of the public so that there can be some kind of a clarity here. The council members are more than ready to speak their own opinions, even interrupting people at this mic with their own perspectives to clarify and push their own views. But when it comes to responding to members of the public about matters here that might move things along, might clarify what's going on, we don't get an answer. Now, I'm not going to speculate on what the answer is, because I don't know what the answer is. But the public should be advised that it's really important that we get a response of City Council on this issue. It's important we not rush into a project with a council that has already been voted out of office. Admittedly, most of you are coming back. Still, two of you are leaving, and as I said before, those two are strong supporters of this project. I also want to acknowledge and thank Mayor Kennedy here for, in fact, not trying to restrict and compound two items. I think it's important for the public process to be as inviting as possible, even to people that we don't like to hear from and even people that we'd rather move on to our own items past. That's all I've got to say, and I hope that I can get a clear answer on this. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Mr. Tawazi, please direct your comments to the item before us.
This is to your coastal thing, but really, you people have been jumping in my case for 5 years. You've been interrupting me. You've been doing all of this and all of that. And you know something? You better leave West Cliff Drive alone, please. Because you're not only wasting your time, you're eroding the city. You are ruining everything that this town stands for, man. And that's the Pacific Ocean and West Cliff Drive. You go around messing around with West Cliff Drive, it's going to fall in. There's caves all over, everywhere. The Pacific Ocean's been eroding ever since. When did the Pacific Ocean, when did it start? Day one? Okay, day one. It's been eating and eating. Why do you want to tear it up even more with such billions and billions of dollars that you're going to make? It's called the greedy hand, our city council. The ones that take from the poor and just love the rich. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. For the rest of your time, you can think, wow, I was the mayor of Santa Cruz. Whoa, I love you.
I think this qualifies as tough love. All right. Councilmember Riley.
I'm assuming the sidewalk improvements on Front Street are both sides of the street. From Cedar to SoCal. Cooper to SoCal. Okay, thanks. She said yes for anyone who couldn't hear. Thank you, Sue.
And comment.
Please.
Comment. The door on the other side of the building that goes into the new Trader Joe's, such a great improvement.
Yes.
And I'm hoping there's going to be a lot more walking traffic on that street. I hope people have noticed that, in the sense that wall has finally been breached. And the building is going to face the Front Street as well. It's just great.
Yeah, let me just add to that we expect more open.
Steele Cirillo, Development Agency person.
On the additional improvements on Front Street.
Yeah, I think this is, I think people should realize that ever since I've been on the council, people have been talking about opening up that side of the street, making it much more friendly to foot traffic, and I think this is going to happen. I really appreciate the work that's going into it.
And it's probably worth just underlining that the previous renovations, that preference was expressed and not met by the city, but with Trader Joe's, they responded to feedback from the city and have made the change. I think it's terrific also.
Move approval of item 14.
Second.
Motion by Rodkin, second by Porter.
But by the way, let me just add a brief comment. Although I'm always instructed by my friends to not waste my time responding to Robert Norris because it doesn't go anywhere.
I think the motion's in order.
but I will say...
I'll table that. Okay. That was the second. It's not debatable.
Not discussable, as I recall.
Okay, we'll let it pass.
I just want to say that unless these fees are paid, this issue can't even get in front of the zoning board so they could reject it if they agree with Mr. Norris about the virtues of the project. So it's a processing fee that moves the project forward in that way. It doesn't necessarily imply that it's going to get approved or that it's going anywhere. We'll see what happens.
I thought surely you're going to object to why should you malign ducks by associating them with elected officials.
I was just too fat a pitch to resist being to answer his question if he would be stopped right there.
All right.
You guys missed your chance, I thought.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Let's pass it a second time.
Notice that Rotkin made two things happen. First, he actually gave no answer to my question as to whether there was an application deadline that required the old council to vote on this and not give the new council a chance to consider whether it's worth spending $80,000 plus on an application. And then, secondly, he claimed that I opposed the project. I didn't say I opposed the project. We have a phone call. Let's see what we got here.